You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Please let us know. Brother Charles, you ready?
Well, I said we're slowing things down a little bit tonight, and this is kind of a slower song, but it's a good testimony song because it's right where I was, so it's my testimony song. Time after time I went searching for peace in a void. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in. Jesus was trying to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting there all the time. Now never, never again will I look for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to run. Sharing each new day with Him is a cup of fresh life. But oh, what I missed while He was waiting right there all the
good song, good song. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, tonight to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible and like to turn to it, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. Anybody need a Bible, keep them up and we'll get you a Bible just in a moment. I want to talk to you tonight about the most foolish thing in the world. Now, there's a lot of foolish things in our world. Got some more over here. Over here. Huh? Is that it? Okay. Now, let me say this about the Bible. If you don't have a Bible here with you, you just keep that one as a gift from Luke's, okay? That'll come from the rec room. That's our gift to you. Now, if you do have one and you're just borrowing ours for the next 20 minutes, At the end of the service, if you'll place it back there on that table at the back, we would appreciate it. Don't leave it in the chair. If you can help us with housekeeping with that, we'd really appreciate it. A lot of things, and I said there were a lot of foolish things that we've all done them. I'd hate to have to sit down tonight and just make a list of the foolish things I've done, because I don't think there's enough yellow pads at my age. Now, if I was about 20, I might could get it in 4 or 5 yellow pages, but at my age, we're not going to make it. And just dumb stuff, just foolish stuff. Paul, in writing to one of the most messed up churches, do you realize some of the churches are messed up? Some of them still are. But in one of the most messed up churches in the Bible, the church at Corinth. Corinth was a town, a coastal town like Houston, Miami. Everybody from everywhere coming in, all nationalities, all races, all religions, all beliefs, and they came in from everywhere. And in fact, if you wanted to be called somebody low down, they called you a Corinthian. That was kind of like saying all feel trash, like we talk about here. But In this church, they had all kind of problems in this church. They had every kind of doctrinal problem, every kind of living problem, every kind of sin problem in this church. Paul wrote 2 letters to them. They even had incest going on right in the church. And in writing to them, and in the very first chapter, 3 times, he uses the word foolishness, and he associates it not with their lifestyle. He associates foolishness with preaching and the way people get saved. Let me start here. Verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Of all the ways in the world for somebody to get saved, preaching has got to be the most foolish. He said that the preaching of that cross got people saved. By that foolishness, not the preaching of foolishness, but the foolishness of preaching. I think some people got that reversed. We have a lot of preaching of foolishness today, but he said by the foolishness of preaching. Now think about this for a moment. Preaching for salvation. Wouldn't it seem more logical that salvation should be earned as a degree? People spend years getting a degree, earning a degree. Well, they spend 12 years getting a high school degree. They spend 4 more years getting a college degree. They spend 2 more years getting a master's degree. They spend 4 more years getting a doctor's degree. You can spend a long time earning, and wouldn't that seem more reasonable to earn that salvation than it would come by the foolishness of preaching? Or maybe we might turn it around this. Salvation should be won as a battle or as a conflict. Struggles, warfare. It took a while to do it. It took a lot of effort. Maybe we could win salvation. But Paul said it's the foolishness of preaching that saved people. Maybe salvation should be learned as an education. You want to learn something. What do we want to get? It takes some time to learn stuff. You just don't run a kid into school and open his head up and pour in arithmetic and say, man, you got it. Hey, we start out with the one-digit numbers, and some people end up in calculus. I never did. I ended up in STOR. In fact, I never made it through trig. Well, I did make it through, but I had a football official that gave the class. And that's the only reason I made it pass in C, man. But it's like getting that degree of learning it. Maybe salvation should be accomplished. Like we accomplish a spectacular feat. We've accomplished something. I recently had a birthday, and I don't like birthdays because I've always wondered why you celebrate something you can't help. I mean, I didn't want to get older, but it did. Hey, but I can understand celebrating an anniversary. That's an accomplishment. You've hung in there. You've accomplished something. Maybe salvation should be achieved as a goal. I got to the goal line. We play football, get to the goal line, cross the goal line, get to 6 points. Sometimes they have to work and work at it. Sometimes they do it a lot in one game and seldom in one game. Sometimes none in one game. But it's something you can achieve as a goal. I could understand salvation a little better. Not the foolishness that of preaching, getting somebody to heaven. You get to heaven by making that goal, achieving goal. Or maybe it should be acquired like property. Some of us long when we can own property and own our own place and own our own home and own our own acreage. Or own your own deer lease. That's some kind of accomplishment. But what Paul say, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching is different from teaching. In fact, I looked up preaching in the original Webster's Dictionary. I looked it up, and here's what it said. That it was to proclaim in religious discourse, semicolon, preach Christ or Christ crucified. That's our preaching. Preach Christ or Christ crucified. That's not teaching. When I started going into prison, I taught a weekly Bible class at the Big Spring Federal Prison for 6 years, like in 2 months. Every Friday night, I drove back and forth from here to Big Spring and taught that class. And I love it. They taught me. I got taught more than any of those guys ever did. But the teaching, I don't want to interrupt y'all now. The teaching is so much different from preaching. And I like to teach. In our newsletter, you'll see 14 books of the Bible that is verse by verse teaching of courses we put out. We did those live in a church. Verse by verse. This book of 1 Corinthians, we went through it verse by verse. 2 Corinthians, verse by verse, talked about it. The book of Acts, the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, the book of Job, the book of Matthew, the book of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Revelation. Verse by verse. In fact, now in our Monday night Bible study, we're going through the book of Revelation again, verse by verse. I enjoy that. I love that. I like to teach that way. You get it all. You don't just pick and choose. You go through verse by verse in these things. But that's not preaching. We're doing the teaching. It's totally different. It's the preaching, the foolishness of preaching. That somebody could just preach to talk about Jesus Christ and somebody on the way to hell stops, turns around, and starts to heaven. You ever think about that? Just like that? Not a lifelong achievement, not a work, not a labor of love. It's the foolishness of preaching. In Jesus Christ, he only lived 33 and a half years. Probably half of this crowd is older than that. He only did ministry for 3.5 years. And some of the things he did were fascinating. First miracle he ever committed, performed, was he turned water to wine, and not water in a jug into wine, water in the well to wine. The whole well he turned into wine for the wedding. My, that's a miracle. One day they said, the people are hungry. The disciples had 5 loaves, 2 fishes. There are 5,000 men plus women and children. Now figuring 4 to a family, 2 children, man and a wife, we're looking at 20,000 people, and he fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's a miracle. Yeah. In the next chapter of Matthew, they had 7 loaves and a few fishes, and he fed 4,000 men, women, and children. That's about 16,000 people with 7 loaves and a few fish. That's a miracle that he could do all of that. My, what a miracle. 3 times Jesus went to a funeral and ruined it. Every time he went to a funeral, when he left, they had to quit having the funeral. The person is dead, got up. One day he's walking along and sees a man comes to him and says, would you come and heal my little girl? She's real sick. Jesus, would you heal my little daughter? And Jesus said, take me to her. And they started out away. And before they got there, they met him and said, you can forget it. She's already dead. Too late. Too late, Jesus. You know what Jesus did? Walked in, laid his hands on her, and she got up. She arose. She's alive. One day he's walking through town. He sees a funeral procession. And here's a mama that her young son is being carried to the graveyard. He walks up to the procession, lays his hand on the young man, and he comes forth. Funeral's over. Everybody's alive. No more problem. One day some people he really cared about said to him, Jesus, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, where is he? And they said, no, Lord, don't. He's already been dead 4 days. He's smelling by now. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And old Lazarus sat up. And he told him, said, take those grave clothes off of him. Clean him up. Funeral's over. Now we're going to have a party. That's the kind of miracles. This is what his life in 3.5 years was filled with. Every time somebody was hurt, he helped them. If they was crippled, he made them whole again. If they was blind, he gave them sight. If they was deaf, he gave them hearing. The lame walked. He never traveled over 100 miles from his house. Everybody in this room has been further than that from home. You're more traveled than Jesus Christ was. He never wrote a book. He never made a movie. He never ran for office. He never held any office. He was never a rock star. He never made a touchdown. Never hit a home run. All he ever did was help people, and they killed him for it. They thought they were. But the Bible tells us he gave his life for sinners. That's that foolishness of preaching, of telling somebody, look, Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a sinless die, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again that you and I might go to heaven. He said, that sounds so easy. You know why it's easy? Because it's hard for him. It wasn't hard for me and you. In fact, it's free for me and you, but it wasn't free for him. It wasn't cheap for him. He gave everything he had. He gave his blood. That foolishness I'm preaching. I've seen this happen so many times. A ruined life. A past that's horrible and a future that's bleak. Not much going in the way of this world's goods. Walk in, have some refreshments, talk with some other people in the same boat. Hard life, bad problems, heartaches, burdens that we wouldn't dare admit to anybody. Sing some songs that some of them we're not too familiar with. And then an old fat man get up and tell you about Jesus Christ. And where once you were sitting there with the bleakest outlook of hell, and you said, you know, I believe him. I believe that Jesus loved me. That verse that I've heard nearly all my life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten sons, should not perish but have everlasting life. I can't lose. I've got nothing to lose. My life is down the tube. I believe that. And all of a sudden, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that person that was doomed and damned to heaven's hell, to hell's fire, is now on the way to heaven. All because of the foolishness of preaching Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ saving. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. I want every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. You're here tonight. And you've heard this story before. It's not the first time maybe that you heard about Jesus. Maybe it's the first time it's registered. And you're here tonight. And you say, I'd like to have that Jesus. My life is right where you said it was. I'm tired of it. I want something better. I'm willing to try Jesus Christ. I'm willing to trust him as my Savior. Leland, would you pray for me? Right now, would you just pray for me? I want something better. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift up your hand and say, would you pray for me? God bless you. I see your hand. Yes, yes, yes. I see your hands. Slip them down. When you put them up, put them anybody else real quickly before we pray. Yes, I see your hands, sir. Anyone else? Yes, I see yours and yours. Yeah. Now listen to me carefully. I'm going to pray. And while I pray, here's what I want you to do. And don't you do one thing that you don't mean. But if you mean this, you say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe that you rose again to take me to heaven. I trust you as my Savior, plus nothing, minus nothing. I don't have one thing in my hand to bring. I just trust Jesus as my Savior. While I'm praying, I want you to pray that prayer to God. And then on the very first verse that Brother Charles started to sing, just as I am without one plea, I want you to make your way right out the front and say, I give my life to Jesus Christ. I take His side tonight.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.